yesterday, Christmas morning, gifts under the tree, I knew what to expect. And don't we all as kids? I knew what to do to these gifts when I got a hold to them. Open the gifts as fast as possible, right? And these gifts were on my mind as a child. I remember this particular Christmas, I received a robot that blew bubbles. Can you believe that? They had that back then. As I was playing with the gift, I didn't understand that only bubbles should go at the top of the compartment. So in my ignorance of what should be placed in the robot, I decided to put cooking oil instead. So I had the gift, but I didn't know how to respond to it. I didn't know how to use that gift. I didn't know how to use it correctly. I incorrectly handled the gift that I received. As Christians, I think sometimes we forget or we don't know how to respond to the gift we've received. The gift of faith. Today, you may be sitting here or listening online, and you don't know how you should respond to the ultimate gift of the world, Jesus. After all, he is the reason we celebrate Christmas. Not our silly decorations, even though they're great and we love them. Thank you for all that decorate. Not our material possessions, which we are grateful for. They're gifts. You know you've been redeemed. You know he is coming back for you. But you may have never thought how we should respond to the gift that we've received by God sending his Son to offer us peace and rest. Today, you may not believe in Jesus, but the Spirit is drawing you. He has brought you here today, and you may be interested in becoming a Christian this morning. Our question this morning is this, or our subject is this: what should our response be this Christmas? What should your response be this Christmas? This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 25. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And while you're turning there, my first point here is this. In verses 25 through 28a, is we should give God the praise for the Son. My first point. My second point in verses 28b through 32 is we should share the good news with all people, or all peoples. And in verses 33 through 34, my last point is we should look to Jesus on difficult days. My main idea over all of this is praise God from whom all blessings flow. So this morning, let's pray as we go before God's word. Lord God, we come before you and we ask that you would help us, you would cleanse us, you would look upon us with grace this morning. May the words of your scripture pierce our hearts this morning. And may we draw closer to you, and may we do your word as well as hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25. Please stand with me if you're able this morning as we read God's word. Luke chapter 2, verse 25, it says this: Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Our first point is we should give God the praise for sending the Son. We see this in verses 25 through 28a. And notice what the author starts off with. Luke gives a brief introduction of Simeon. Not much is known of him. Who was he? We have to ask the question as we read this. Any good Bible scholar will say this. Who is this man? The author only wants you to know two things about his character. Notice, he was righteous and he was devout. That's all he gives. And we have to ask ourselves, what does this mean? He was most likely a person of significance that worked in the temple. He wasn't a nobody. Some suggest he was a leader of the Sanhedrin, a major figure in the temple. He most likely was a priest of some kind. He wasn't a nobody. That's for sure. He was a leader among the Jews. But let's go back to what the text says. What follows the idea that he was righteous and devout? Why is that? Look at the text. The Holy Spirit was on him. Was there other people that followed the law and did good things and all of this? What was the key to all this? The Holy Spirit was upon him, or on him. And number two, notice, he was waiting for the Lord's restoration. In other words, he was waiting for the Messiah. That's the key here. You could be a great person to do great things, but if your zeal is in the wrong direction, you are without hope. Simeon knew Scripture. And most likely he knew Isaiah 52:9. And notice what it says in Isaiah 52:9. It says, "Break forth, sing for joy together, ruins of Jerusalem, for Yahweh has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem." The Spirit of God, number one, enabled Simeon to see the truth about who the Messiah was. And number two, he proclaimed it. Isn't that amazing? Look at 26. Verse 26 shows us that it was the Holy Spirit that revealed this truth to him and enabled him to be righteous and devout. Period. There's no other question about it. Notice what the text says about his entrance into God's house. This is a note for us. He didn't just walk in and sit back and do what he always did. It's a little different this time, isn't it? This time his heart was ready. He came in, it says, the text, he came in the Spirit. That was the enacting ingredient that caused him to do what? To recognize the truth. To recognize and to proclaim the truth. The ingredient was the Spirit upon him. Look in verse 28a. It's the cream on top of the coffee. He praised God for what the Holy Spirit revealed to him. Before we walk into church, do we ask God to show us Jesus? Do we seek His presence in prayer and the filling of the Holy Spirit before we walk through these doors? There are two things happening here, what we should notice. Simeon was searching the Scriptures. He was diligent in that. He was faithful in what God had called him to do. And God took a faithful man and revealed his truth to him. And he worked through him in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we see the ingredient of all of this. He did this in order for him to proclaim the truth. This brings us to point two. We should share the good news with all peoples. In 28b through 32, notice Simeon praises, or his praise speaks of what? Two things, peace and rest. And these are ancient ideas from the beginning. They stem from Genesis 3:15, as we read one of the first scriptures we were talking about here. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Notice there is a sense of rest that comes over him because he knows through the reading of Scripture the promises that are fulfilled through Jesus. Scripture gives him hope. And at that moment, his faith became sight. Isn't that what we talked about this morning? He wasn't believing in something that was a blind faith necessarily. There was evidence to his belief. But his belief in the Scriptures became sight in the one that appeared. He could now rest in peace. In verse 30, let's look at his proclamation of the good news. What was supposed to be a normal service of purification here, and if you know the background of here, you were to present in the Levitical law a lamb, a turtle dove, and there were two cheaper things, the turtle dove and something else here. The lamb was for someone that maybe had a little more finances, and those that couldn't afford it, they would purchase a bird. And notice if you read earlier in here, you see that they were poor, this family. They couldn't afford much. But this was supposed to be just a normal purification. Probably most people in that time would bring the cheaper sacrifice. Why? Because they couldn't afford it. But this purification service turned out to be a sermon. You should know that after a woman gives birth, the first child, when she gives birth, she must be homebound for a total of 40 days. And this was in accordance with the law in Leviticus 12. Simeon's proclamation of the truth, as he looked upon Jesus in his eyes, he saw him. He equated the glory of Israel and the salvation of many to this infant, Jesus. Simeon is proclaiming the prophecies of Isaiah 40:5 and Isaiah 52:10. This is right off of his lips. Can you imagine waiting and waiting and waiting all of the years that he lived, and at the end of his life, the thing that he believed in, he saw, that he was enabled to see in Scripture, is right before his very eyes. Can you imagine? In the next chapter, we read, Luke ties in what Simeon is proclaiming of Isaiah by quoting Isaiah 40:3-5. It says this, "The voice of the one shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord," or for the Lord. "Make his path straight. Every valley will be filled. Every mountain and hill will be brought low. And the crooked will be made straight. And the rough ways will be made smooth. And all humanity will see the salvation of God." We see in verse 31, he continues with his proclamation. God is doing all of this right before the people's eyes here. He is not just here for one group to identify with him. Jesus is not just here for one group of people. He is the salvation of all races, tribes, tongues, and nations. Notice how Jesus is salvation in verse 32. It says in verse 32, it's very important. Simeon proclaims the truth that Jesus fulfills. Number one, he is a light and revelation to the Gentiles. And number two, he is the glory for the people of Israel. In other words, Jesus has come to fulfill the promises of God to the people of Israel to be a blessing to the nations. We need to ask the question, how though? How is he these things? He came to fulfill what the nation of Israel failed to accomplish. Being a light to the nations. Israel failed. But Jesus succeeds. Israel's main purpose was to be a light to those around them. And we see how that worked out. And Genesis 12:1-3 says, "Through Abraham, the families of the earth will be blessed." This is way before Israel. You think God had a plan? We see in Exodus 19:5-6 that God delivered them from Egypt to be a kingdom of priests. We see in Isaiah 49:1-13 and Isaiah 60:3. Isaiah says this, it says, "Israel's glory is Jesus, and he is salvation for all peoples." And that means what? That means Greeks, Jews, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythians, slaves, and free. The key in Israel's receiving glory is found in what Jesus did through his people, making disciples of all nations. And God used the people of Israel to disperse the gospel to all the nations through his command of Matthew 28:19-20. The dispersing of Israel, though it was their failure, it was God tossing seed upon fertile ground. Do you know what the church is and should be? It's a distributor of God's grace. For us to preach the gospel to all peoples of the earth. This is how God's plan for the church and all who are incubated in Christ. That we would go out and we would share the good news of Jesus Christ. That we would come to worship him and glorify him with our heart, mind, and soul. Thank him for his promises fulfilled and go out and live in a world that is dark. This is why we support missionaries around the world. This is why we need to improve our local outreach here in Acadiana as we live out in the world. This brings us to our next point. With the light of the gospel going out, it will expose problems. It will bring up issues. But our last point is this: we should have hope in Jesus during persecution. You being a believer in Christ, you going out into the world, you living out the gospel will cause issues. There will be problems, but notice there is hope in Christ. In verse 33, Joseph and Mary are in awe of Simeon's sermon. They're baffled. Is this guy going crazy? What's happening here? Can you imagine their faces? They've seen other ceremonies like this, and you're talking about our child. Are you crazy? Or maybe not. Is he talking about our little boy? We know that Mary received the promises. We know that Joseph knew this. But can you imagine that you hearing this from a guy you've never talked to before? Is this coming true? I could see the joy. I could see the confusion. I could see the excitement. And all of the emotions on their faces as we look at this moment. But when they pick up their jaws off the ground, Simeon adds something here. He adds the word, but. In verse 34, the message I just gave you, some will believe and some won't, he says. The blind will see, but the ones that have sight will be blinded. He will be a stumbling block, a rock of offense. In other words, people will hate him. We know this now as we look back. But 35, Simeon ends his prophecy, proclamation of Jesus' death and Mary's anguish we see. As we can see. But here's the purpose. Here's the purpose. So that many thoughts. Why is all this? Why is Simeon doing all this? Why has God come? So that many thoughts and hearts will be revealed. I love what Dr. James Edwards says about Simeon's conclusion. He says this: the appearance of the incarnate Son of God is like a catalyst in a chemical solution. It brings to light such thoughts, even provokes them, throwing faith and disbelief into stark relief, he says. Jesus brings everything to light. And if you read the Gospel of John, you see that coming to light. Jesus says, my words judge you. And those that believed in him were not judged. And those that didn't believe were judged. Jesus makes your thoughts noticeable. Today, in our country, we are on the edge of great turmoil in this country. We think everything is safe. We think everything is good. But we are on a cliff. The world can turn upside down at a push of a button. One wrong choice can overthrow everything that we see as comfortable. A click of a tweet. What is your hope in today? Is your hope in your wealth? Is your hope in your own structure? Is your hope in the American dream? Is your hope in who's the next president? Is your hope in anything of these things? What is your hope solidified in this morning? Because everything in this world can be turned upside down. This Christmas, I want you to know that Jesus is the gift that our eyes should be on today. And I'm so grateful for all those that read Scripture today. Thank you for reading a hope of our life. We have hope because for thousands of years, God has laid out a plan. We have a lot to learn from Simeon. The Christmas season, as you celebrate, remember this, that we should give praise to the Son, or we should give praise, we should give God the praise for the Son. We should share the good news with all peoples. And we should look to Jesus on difficult days. And not just difficult days, but also good days. Whether you are a Christian or you are on the edge and you want to know more about Jesus, it starts with all of us. What does it do? It starts with all of us recognizing or realizing that we need to praise God from whom all blessings flow. It is Him alone that can give you rest and peace from your misery. Today, praise God from whom all blessings flow. This morning, if you don't believe Him, and you feel a weight upon you, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Come to Him. This morning, if you believe in Him, praise God from whom all blessings flow. This is how we should respond this Christmas season. Let's pray. Oh God, we come before You and we give You praise. We give You honor, we give You glory, for Your name is great. May we look to You just as Simeon looked to You. May You open our eyes and believe in You as the One that has come so long ago and the One that is coming back. May we remember You this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.